You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on March 23rd, 1990.
There's a definite liberating effect in the disappearance of the last snowbank. This is true even when we are certain more snowstorms can follow. It's a part of the psychology of spring. I took a trip this last week in search of remnant snowbanks and saw only the uplifting influence of impending spring. It started as I drove through the central New York backcountry, a roundabout route to my destination, just to get a summary of what was going on. The ditches were full of the runoff from melting snowbanks, the first evidence of what I was seeking. Ditches and streams were all running out of their banks. In the fields, I saw hundreds of crows scavenging for the remnants of the last growing season. On two occasions, I encountered farmers doing their first spring plowing. They were eager to take advantage of this unexpected stretch of mild weather. Clouds of gulls were following the gang plows in search of whatever the freshly turned earth would reveal. Along one stretch of creek bottom, groups of red-winged blackbirds were rehearsing for their annual rite of renewal. These are probably not the local nesting birds, just transients. No real flaunting of the red shoulder patches as yet. On such forays, I always include a favored wetland in my circuit. The best ones are still resting under a persistent blanket of icy snow. But in one small patch of open water, I spotted a trio of hooded mergansers diving and displaying. The female was displaying her usually recumbent crest. This is definitely a pair and a spare. The second male was simply a spectator. The other male spread his crest and inflated his throat, posturing and vocalizing. Further along, a flooded wetland, the waters of its swollen feeder stream running a half foot deep over the ice, revealed a small group of dapper ring-necked ducks and a trio of male wood ducks, the first of the season. When I arrived at Baltimore Woods, I set out immediately for the woods, pausing along the way to greet or be greeted by a song sparrow, intent on delivering a tinkling proclamation about the imminence of spring, and to observe the unprecedented emergence of dandelion-like coltsfoot and lilac-like daphne. I strolled across the Faust Garden, again pausing to check the progress of bloodroot and hepatica. The first pointed shoots of bloodroot were just then erupting from the reddish rootstocks, and the nascent buds of this year's hepatica were formed, covered by a long, silvery fuzz. From my vantage point at the crest of the valley wall, I could see the decaying remnants of last winter's snow. I descended to examine them at close range. As the snowbank retreats, there is a concentration of all the debris deposited on the snow throughout the winter. The snowbank contains outlines of 1,000 short stories, accounts of events now gone by. The evidence is fragmentary, so the accounts must be highly speculative. But that's the subject of another episode of The Nature of Things. At present, I'm interested in current events. Baltimore Brook itself is swollen with the meltwaters from its watershed. The water is discolored by silt and from pasture and crop fields upstream. At its present high level, it gouged, undercut, and bulldozes, creating new riffles and pools and filling in old ones. Every spring, the brook is redesigned by the spring freshet. The extent of the remodeling depends on the duration and amount of the added flow. This year, the alterations could be extensive. Time will tell. I watched the stream long enough to observe the dynamics. Leaves and sticks streamed by. Pebbles and small stones were nudged downstream. Many insects, dislodged from their otherwise secure retreats, were wafted downstream. As soon as they can, they get a new foothold, scurrying to secure a safe retreat. There's little chance that they will regain their old location until they emerge a few weeks hence for their nuptial flights. Their loss, however, is the trout's gain. As I focused on one such naiad coming to rest in a quiet backwater, a medium-sized brook trout flashed out, and summarily ended the career of one mayfly, just weeks before it was to emerge for its brief aerial adventure. It's an event well known to trout fishermen, but at present I was too interested in the fate of the snowbanks to linger. I progressed downstream, veering sharply toward the base of the north-facing valley slope. Here in perpetual shade, the snowbanks linger, sometimes well into May. In one cove, I found a number of the kiosk-shaped hoods of skunk cabbage emerging from the snowbank. Each was surrounded by a shallow melt cone, showing that they absorb and emanate enough energy to hasten the demise of the snowbanks around them. Well, that's the story of the snowbank. Throughout its brief life, it performs many functions, from protective coverlet to source of the spring freshet. For all of that, I'm glad each spring when the last one disappears. It is indeed a liberating event. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.